WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Last night, a group of writers gathered in Manhattan at Symphony Space for a special reading to benefit the writers of Bosnia. The special guest was Zlatko Dzdarević, an editor of the only Sarajevo newspaper that has continued to publish through the war. He joined us on the first part of our show. The benefit was hosted by the Penn American Center. Penn is the international writers' organization. Bosnian writers living under siege recently established a branch of Penn. We're going to hear several of last night's readings, starting with playwright Arthur Miller, best known for Death of a Salesman and The Crucible. In the 1960s, Miller presided over the Congress of International Penn, held in Bled, a resort town in Slovenia, which he says had been the watering hole for generations of Europeans. During that time, Miller says, Yugoslavia seemed to be prodding the limits of socialism, and compared to the dictatorships of the Soviet Union, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, and East Germany, it was a shock of fresh air.
Yugoslavia in the 60s seemed filled with enormous energy. They were the proudest, friendliest people I had met in Europe, and the most frank and open. There was one taboo, unmentioned but obvious, the ethnic nationalism which Tito had ruthlessly suppressed. I know, of course, that Slovenians, Bosnians, Serbs, Croatians, Montenegrins, and other nationalities, I knew this, made up the Yugoslav delegation to the Congress. But since to me they all looked alike and conversed in a mutually understood language, their differences might be no more flammable than those separating Welsh and English, or maybe even Texans and Minnesotans. And when, out of curiosity, I would ask an individual if he was Croatian or Slovenian or whatever, and the question caused a slight uneasiness, it seemed minimal enough to be dismissed as more or less irrelevant in this rapidly modernizing country. Then one evening, a group of four writers, one a Serb journalist friend of mine named Bogdan, invited me out for a drink after dinner. Two were poets, a Croatian and a Montenegrin, and one a Slovenian professor. We walked down the road to the local nightclub, which usually catered to tourists. The room was very large, like a ballroom, with maybe 50 bare plastic-covered tables, only a few of them occupied by stolid, square-headed Alpine types. The cold night air was not noticeably heated. It had the feeling of a big Pittsburgh cafeteria between meals. But presently, a three-piece band took places on a platform up front and began tootling American jazz standards. And a woman materialized and stood unsmilingly facing the audience. Small and compact, she wore a matching brown skirt and jacket and a shiny white rayon blouse, and in a businesslike way began undressing in what I was informed was to be a delightful striptease. The scattered audience of men and their chunky women silently gulped beer and sipped slivovitz as the dancer removed her suit jacket, her shoes, her blouse, and her skirt until she stood looking out in her pink rayon slip and bra. It was all done rather antiseptically, as if preparing for a medical examination. Each garment tidily laid out and patted down on the piano bench, there being no pianist. Now she stepped out of her slip and in her panties did a few routine steps in approximate time to the music. She had very good legs. Things were heating up. From somewhere, she picked up a heavy blue terry cloth robe, and wrapped in it, she slipped off her bra and flashed one breast. My fellow writers broke off their dying conversation. I don't know what got into me to ask, can you tell from looking at her what nationality she is? Bogdan, my Serb friend, depressed by his wife's absence in Belgrade, which had left him for the entire Congress week to the mercies of his melancholy mistress, glanced across the room at the stripper and gave his morose opinion. I would say she could be Croatian, he said. Impossible, the Croatian poet laughed. But with a sharpened eye and a surprising undertone of moral indignation, added, she could never be Croatian. Maybe Russian, yes, or Slovenian, but not Croatian. Slovenian, the mocking shout came from the Slovenian literature professor, a tall, thin fellow with shoulder-length hair. Never. She has absolutely nothing Slovenian about her. Look how dark she is. I would say perhaps from the south, maybe Montenegrin. The dark-skinned Montenegrin poet sitting beside me simply exploded in a challenging, ha! Earlier, he had been ethnically relaxed enough to tell a joke on his own people. Montenegrins were apparently famous for their admirably lethargic natures, and one of them was walking down a street when he suddenly whipped out his revolver and, swiveling about, shot a snail on the sidewalk behind him. His energetic Serbian friend asked what the hell he had done that for. Explained the Montenegrin, he's been following me all day. But when it came to the stripper, humor had noticeably evaporated as each of the men kept handing her over to somebody else. In the midst of this warming discussion of ethnic types, I noticed that the dancer had left the platform in her thick terry cloth robe, and with her clothes cradled neatly in her arms, was just about to pass us when I stuck out my arm and stopped her. May I ask where you come from? With a wan, polite smile, she replied, Dusseldorf. And continued on her way. None of the writers allowed himself to laugh, although I thought one or two blushed at the irony of the situation. A bit tense, struggling awkwardly to reconstruct the earlier atmosphere of comradely warmth, we strolled back through the dark Balkan night, the president and four distinguished delegates of Penn, organized after World War I by H.G. Wells, George Bernard Shaw, Henri Barbusse, and other war-weary writers, as an attempt at applying the universalist tradition of literature to the melting down of those geographical and psychological national barriers for whose perpetuation humanity has always spent its noblest courage and a uniquely ferocious savagery. Thank you.
Arthur Miller at last night's benefit for the writers of Sarajevo. More readings from that event after the short break. This is Fresh Air. We have two more readings from last night's benefit for the writers of Sarajevo, sponsored by Penn, the International Writers Organization. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Don DeLillo, author of the novels Libra and White Noise. First, playwright Wendy Wasserstein, author of The Heidi Chronicles and The Sisters Rosenzweig. She read letters by Izeta Gradjevic, an artist and a member of Sarajevo's Oblata Theater. These letters were reprinted in a special issue of the magazine Lusitania called For Sarajevo. This is a letter to Gradovic's friend Michael Boonstra in New York.
Dear Michael, I am writing this letter to you by candlelight. It's cold. There is no electricity. Moreau and I live since August at the Academy of Theater Arts in the basement with some of our friends. We stoke a fire to stay warm. We've already burned three sets in our stove. We've cooked on the bald soprano and Midsummer's Night Dream. Life here is very difficult, a struggle to survive. The Chetniks have us blockaded without food, water, and power. And on their television, they show us an advertisement with tables full of flood, with swimming pools, with happy people while their voiceover follows the action, how all these things are now beyond your reach. Don't wait for help from anyone because it isn't coming. Separate yourselves as soon as possible. That's very cynical, isn't it? Very sad. But what can we do? We have to live through all of this. Moreau works hard. He's always walking in the city, and that is very dangerous. I am always in the basement. There are still many people in Sarajevo of different nationalities. It is a great and sad lie that Serbs are here in concentration camps. Here, everyone is equally hungry, equally cold, and equally dies. Many of our friends have died. Many buildings are destroyed. The old Austrian-built library is burned to the ground. Bogova Mosque has been struck by over 80 grenades. The Oriental Institute is burned, the old post office as well, the bakery, Skendia Sports Center, National Theater, Chamber Theater, and in that instance, two passerbys were killed. Thank God we are all healthy. We try to maintain our sanity and our will to live.
I'm Don DeLillo, and I'm going to read a poem by Zbigniew Herbert. It's called Report from the Besieged City. Too old to carry arms and fight like the others, they graciously gave me the inferior role of chronicler. I record, I don't know for whom, the history of the siege. I am supposed to be exact, but I don't know when the invasion began. 200 years ago? In December? In September? Perhaps yesterday, at dawn. Everyone here suffers from a loss of the sense of time. All we have left is the place, the attachment to the place. We still rule over the ruins of temples, specters of gardens and houses. If we lose the ruins, nothing will be left. I write as I can in the rhythm of interminable weeks. Monday, empty storehouses. A rat became the unit of currency. Tuesday, the mayor murdered by unknown assailants. Wednesday, negotiations for a ceasefire. The enemy has imprisoned our messengers. Thursday, after a stormy meeting, a majority of voices rejected the motion of the spice merchants for unconditional surrender. Friday, the beginning of the plague. Saturday, our invincible defender, NN, committed suicide. Sunday, no more water. We drove back an attack at the eastern gate called the Gate of the Alliance. All of this is monotonous. I know it can't move anyone. I avoid any commentary. I keep a tight hold on my emotions. I write about the facts. Only they, it seems, are appreciated in foreign markets. Yet, with a certain pride, I would like to inform the world that, thanks to the war, we have raised a new species of children. Our children don't like fairy tales. They play at killing. Awake and asleep, they dream of soup, of bread and bones, just like dogs and cats. In the evening, I like to wander near the outposts of the city, along the frontier of our uncertain freedom. I look at the swarms of soldiers below their lights. I listen to the noise of drums, barbarian shrieks. Truly, it is inconceivable the city is still defending itself. The siege has lasted a long time. The enemies must take turns. Nothing unites them except the desire for our extermination. Goths, Tatars, Swedes, troops of the Emperor, regiments of the Transfiguration. Who can count them? The colors of their banners change like the forest on the horizon, from delicate birds yellow in spring, through green, through red, to winter's black. And so, in the evening, released from facts, I can think about distant, ancient matters. For example, our friends beyond the sea. I know they sincerely sympathize. They send us flour, lard, sacks of comfort and good advice. They don't even know their fathers betrayed us, our former allies at the time of the second apocalypse. Their sons are blameless. They deserve our gratitude. Therefore, we are grateful. They have not experienced a siege as long as eternity. Those struck by misfortune are always alone. The defenders of the Dalai Lama, the Kurds, the Afghan mountaineers. Now, as I write these words, the advocates of conciliation have won the upper hand over the party of inflexibles. A normal hesitation of moods, fate, still hangs in the balance. Cemeteries grow larger. The number of defenders is smaller. Yet the defense continues. It will continue to the end. And if the city falls but a single man escapes, he will carry the city within himself on the roads of exile. He will be the city. We look in the face of hunger, the face of fire, face of death, worst of all, the face of betrayal. And only our dreams have not been humiliated. Zbigniew Herbert, 1982, translated by John Carpenter and Bogdana Carpenter. Thank you.
Don DeLillo, reading last night at a benefit for the Writers of Sarajevo, sponsored by PEN, the International Writers Organization. Our thanks to the PEN American Center, Symphony Space, and engineer Leszek Wojciech. This is Fresh Air.